And our second talk in the Life and Health Sciences series of talks is by Oscar Gonzalez. He's the Environmental Science Coordinator and Associate Professor of Biology at Anderson University in South Carolina. And he is a co-presenter who's not here with us today, but he'll introduce. And the topic is the connection between zoonosis and creation care. Welcome, Oscar.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. So this talk is going to be about ecology, conservation, and disease. I met my friend, Dr. Dario De Luca, in 2019 in the Biologos conference. He's a medical doctor, and I befriended him and said, well, are you interested in what aspect of medicine? He said, well, it's about viruses, microorganisms, all the stuff that make us sick. And I said, well, I'm interested in ecological interactions and how the diseases of animals can get to us. I said, well, let's do something together. So, well, this is it. Zoonosis. And what this has to do with creation care. Well, to understand this concept of zoonosis, we need to understand this other concept of symbionts. So symbionts, while animals live with symbionts in their bodies, and that may cause diseases. Yeah, we're not alone. We're full of bugs. In some cases, we might assume, well, if you are full of bugs, well, you are have to be sick. Not really. It depends. Something that has been discovered is that in several animals, they have to have a specific amount of symbionts so they could work in a good way, in a normal way. This case of these wasps, the Asobara tabida wasps, they cannot perform a basic property or the physiology, that is reproduction, unless it has a specific amount of Wolbachia bacteria. You take out this amount of microbiota out of the wasp will not reproduce. And also we know now, and I think we all know, that we are functioning well with good bacteria in our bodies, that is known as the microbiota. When I teach this to my students, they find out, so difficult to believe that we are full of bugs. No, that they are full of things. And I usually refer that to a Bible verse. That is Psalm 91:11-12. What does it say? It says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." No, I'm not saying that the angels are bacteria. But I am saying that as we as Christians believe that there are angels among us and they take care of us, well, God created us with bacteria, with microbiota. They're taking care of us. And also something else that we can lift up anybody who is depressed, say, my life has no value at all. Come on, cheer up. For the bacteria, you're the world for them. Yeah. Well, knowing this, now we get into the concept of zoonotic diseases. So when wild animals contact domesticated animals and humans, these symbionts, these bugs, that could be bacteria, worms, viruses, or something else, may get to us, and that may cause zoonotic diseases. One seminal paper about this is on this guy, Ponsieri, in the Bioscience magazine. And he listed these specific diseases. Those are case studies of that link biodiversity change to specific effects on humans. And we do see here the disease system, that it would be Lyme disease, hantavirus, West Nile virus, cytosomiasis, enteric disease, malaria, and asthma. Well, I'm not going to go to all of them, but I would like to focus on just one, malaria. Why? because the case that this guy portrays here was specifically in Peru. I am Peruvian. I was born there. And my father told me that when he was 15 years old, he almost died of malaria. And what was the cause? Well, when he was that age, he had to go to work in the Amazon, and there was a lot of cases of malaria there. But why? What was the case here? Here it says this. What makes malaria so prevalent in Peru at that time? Here, the effect on human health, well, it was that deforested sites have greater density of vectors and higher human biting rates, leading to increased risk of human infection. Deforestation. The Amazon was deforested a lot, so there were more vectors, the mosquitoes there. And what happened here is the change of canopy structure influenced density and diversity of malaria transmitting vectors. You are wiping out the forests, you are allowing more space for the mosquitoes to reproduce. And they clean out the forest for what? For in the lower Amazon, it was for planting rice. And here it says aquaculture activities in newly settled area may contribute to vector breeding. What used to be pristine lowland forests, they were now fields full of rice. And that created a lot of this mosquito abundance that make the malaria more prevalent, and that almost killed my father. So the point is, these causes of zoonotic diseases, it is linked to environmental destruction. Well, but now to understand this linkage between disease and ecology, there is this science now, disease ecology. And we know that the ecological interactions in any ecosystem will be incomplete without parasites and pathogens. Usually, parasites and pathogens were regarded as oddities, as things that, well, they shouldn't be there. There were less mistakes on nature. No. In several systems now, considering parasites and pathogens is going to help us to understand how really the ecosystem works. And this is a quite interesting case study that is not related really to disease, but it's related to a specific process in ecosystem ecology, that is nutrient recycling. The wood beetles. The wood beetles, they are there to eat decayed wood and process wood. It has been discovered this, that if the beetle has no parasites as nematodes, they will produce in 3 months 60 grams of recycled wood. But if they have nematodes inside, parasites, they are going to produce more, 70 grams of processed wood. So even God knows how to use the parasites to make the ecosystem to work better. In this way, we see that the symbionts, the things that we might assume, poor beetle is sick with this worm, so that make them work. But now, that's for the beetles. But what about us? How is the concept of zoonosis involve us? There are many zoonotic diseases that are causing a lot of damage. And I'm going to mention the emerging diseases. You know what I'm talking about if you see these pictures, I think. About viruses, specifically viral diseases. The last pandemic was probably caused by a mutant coronavirus that probably was originated by bats and pangolins. So we all know that COVID affects the lungs. We have our own viruses inside. We have the flu virus, different sort of rhinovirus. given our own coronaviruses that we are living with that, they don't kill us. They sometimes make a stuffy nose and things like this. But what it is known is that these specific viruses that were from the bats, they may have done this recombination and changed inside the bats. And that came either to the pangolin or to an unknown vector, and then came to people here. And this recombination made this deadly virus that our immune system was not ready to combat. But, okay, now what's the cause of that? The wet market of Wuhan or the Institute of Virology, I will not discuss that. But the point here is that we made a terrible mess. And what's the mess? Mixing animals that normally will not mix. Yeah, I don't think that the bat will consume, attack the coronavirus, pass the coronavirus normally to a pangolin or to a mammal here, because these bats are not the hematophagous bats. They are not the bats that feed on blood. They normally are not together. So these symbionts were not ready to interact. When they get and interact, they make all this mess, and that's why we were screwed up for 2 years or so. Well, that's one case. I'm going to talk to other cases of epidemics here. This other virus, Nipah virus, that appeared in Malaysia. And something that we also know is that is a virus that was proper of the fruit bats. But here, how did this virus got to us? People in Malaysia consume the dates of palm, the fruit there. But when this is contaminated with the secretions of the bat, then it caused the outbreak, and also the bat. The fruit was also contaminated here with the secretion of the bat, and this fruit were fed to the pigs. And here, there was an outbreak in the pigs and also in humans. What happened here was a bad management of livestock. If we're going to do agriculture on livestock, it shouldn't be close to wildlife, not good management of the environment. And the threat is present in India, even if that happened 26 years ago. What about monkeypox? Monkeypox, even the name could be a bit deceiving, is caused by rodents. So this is a virus, this is a symbiont that is on specific rodents in Africa. But in the US in 2013, 2022, there was an outbreak in humans. How did they come here? Because there was a specific shipment of wild animals from Africa. And these viruses came to people here, and people to people came the transmission. This virus that was supposed to stay with the rodents there got involved with monkeys and then to us. What causes that? An unmanaged, an uncontrolled wild market. That is what caused this specific zoonosis. The Rift Valley fever that appeared in 1987 in some African countries. There were several outbreaks here. But this was traced to a specific activity that happened at that time, the construction of dams. Yeah. Dams are usually needed because people need energy. And the way how to do that is, you put a dam on any river. But what is that causing? That is causing an ecological disaster, really. More space for the mosquitoes to breed. That came first to cattle, and cattle, it was for here, humans. So another case of mismanagement of the environment. No? The not doing an adequate environmental assessment on the consequences of the putting dams in specific places. Machupo virus, that originated in Bolivia, 1962. All rodents, specific rodents that are from there were the vectors. But that was tied to a mismanagement of malaria. That specific virus appeared in places with high incidence of malaria. So what did they do? Well, at that time, they applied DDT everywhere. Okay, cause of malaria, okay, no problem, throw DDT everywhere. Killed the mosquitoes, not just the mosquitoes. The rodents, predators were eliminated. So there was a overpopulation of rodents interacted more with humans, and that causes this outbreak. A terrible mismanagement of also the ecological interactions here that causes the dismissal of the normal controllers here, the predators of these rodents. And that was tied to an outbreak. So what to do? What should we do if we don't want this? God commanded us humans to care for his creation. And we know this as creation care. And I think we can apply creation care for the prevention of zoonosis. So what we call here our current state? We are increasing habitat fragmentation, destroying the forests. There are unregulated markets for pets or for food. So what is causing there is the highly fragmented habitat is making that it's most possible for humans to interact with wildlife. And also, if there is not a regulated market, then the possibility of accidents where wild animals are going to mix with other wild animals that were never supposed to be so close to each other, that is going to cause the interaction of these symbionts. They are going to evolve, mutate, and they can pass to us. But that is if there is an unregulated market. So these cases, that is going to increase the possibility of zoonosis. More human-wildlife interactions increase the risk of zoonosis and pandemics. So habitat destruction, fragmentation, that is combined with unregulated wild market, that increase the probability of zoonosis. But why is that? What is the cause? I think it's sin in this case. Last, for natural resources, that is not an adequate wildlife management. And I think that we are aggravating creation groaning. I have a paper in 2020 in Godan Nature about how I think that the pandemic is a case of creation groaning. So proper wildlife management is creation care for Christians. Neglection of the creation care principle is going to originate epidemics, and maybe, God willing, that will not happen, another pandemic. More information, we got this paper in Journal Perspective in 2021. And currently, I'm going to be involved in a specific research on ecological interactions on birds in the mountain forests in Peru with my institution, that is Anderson University. We are collaborating with the Faculty of Veterinary Science of Universidad Peruana Cayetano Heredia. I am going to collaborate with wildlife veterinarians there. I will capture the birds, check if they are pollinating, if they are seed dispersing, and they will bring experts, so they will swap the birds and check if what are their parasites, their symbionts, and see if, well, there are some potentials for a disease or so. No? So, well, any question, we're happy to.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I like the idea of the, you're afraid the less fragmentation of it. So it seems like urbanization, would you think that would be a big solution for zoonosis? And I guess better, obviously more agricultural management, would that be your solution?
Yes, but we need to have it very clear that now urban ecology is something that I think is mandatory if you want to manage the environment now, because the world is becoming more urban and the possibility of interactions with wildlife are quite more common. So we need to educate the public that if the little rabbit or the deer is coming, don't go there, don't hug them, don't kiss them, don't yeah, leave them in their place, don't feed them, no? So yeah, that's unavoidable, I think. No?
Well, yeah, I mean, urban versus suburban, like getting people out of the suburbs into the cities where there will be no animals, like that would be, is that what you're kind of...
No, I'm not advocating for that, because I think nobody would like to live in the middle of New York or in the middle of... I don't want to live like that, but the idea is, yeah, if we are going to be in areas that are close to wildlife, we need to maintain our limits, no? Our borders. That's the point. Please.
Yeah. So you mentioned the human sin as the big problem. So biblically speaking, it's much more complex in terms of individual, systemic, unintentional, intentional, etc. So that's part one. But the second thing is, many of the examples you mentioned are not so much... I wouldn't see so much as sin, but almost accidental side effects of good intentions, like the DDT problem was the intention was good, but there was unintended consequences. And I'm sure you're familiar with the systems theory, and it would explain some of it. So you just wonder if you can comment as well.
Yes. If you see the paper there, this paper is really two-thirds of the original paper, because the first one-third was a sort of theological discussion that we both said, and then the reviewers that were theologians, I think, they said, no. So, I'm not a theologian, and thank you for your feedback. And I think, there could be many causes why there could be accidents or somebody sinning, but now that if somebody see this and still do that, that guy or gal is sinning. Please.
Yeah, so I really, always struggle with this, because human and animal, a lot of times we're competing for the same resource, right? Whatever is an ecological resource we're competing with. So I'm just using one example. I'm in the drug development field. So when we develop any new drug, there's the environmental risk assessment. We need to do a big environmental risk assessment. But no matter how we do it, we can never think of every single thing. So like you said, it's good intention. So a lot of time you need to make a choice. You make drugs that will affect the environment. But it's also save lives. Right, human lives. So what are you going to do in that? So consciously, what should we do? Don't develop this, rare disease drugs, so let millions of kids die, or we develop it knowing that they probably can kill fishes. So what should we do?
I think there is a proverb that says, in the multitude of advisors, there is wisdom, something like this. No? Mm-hmm. So I will say, do not rely on only one person. We need to get different voices and not just get the one that advocates, I want to save the fish, I want just to save the bird. We need to make a consensus on this. No? When we think that something is not right, I think we have to say it. In one in one wetland close to the outskirts of Lima in Peru, one guy with very good intentions said, okay, this is going to be a place where families are going to bring their children. Let's put domestic ducks here. So they are going to be closer there, and then they will go out and see the wild ducks. We said, no, don't do that. Why? Because of this, zoonosis. Yeah, that guy was an engineer. He didn't know anything about biology, ecology, or that. So, well, we had to say, well, in a different tone, no, please don't do that. That will cause a risk. And he didn't know anything about that. So they didn't allow this.
I think we're out of time. Let you guys follow up, but we're going to transition. Let's thank our speaker once again. Thank you.